Well, it's a new year, new day, new opportunities, and quite often we start things, don't we? We have these New Year's resolutions and things, and we often as a church put out Bible readings for the year, and they started again yesterday. And so if you've got the weekly email, you'll see those also on the weekly sheet that we printed up this week. They'll be on there. But I don't know about you, there are certain parts of the Bible through those daily readings you sort of dread. Am I allowed to say that? Do you ever find when you get to 1 Chronicles and you think, I've got the first 9 chapters to go through and there are 500 names I've got to read? And you think, oh my goodness. Lord, your word tells me that all scripture is profitable and can help me and shape me and encourage me. Lord, help me through this. And when you get to 1 Chronicles, you think, oh my, well, at least I do. But anyway, when you get through there, there's this whole list of names going back from Adam right through to the period of the Israelites returning from the Babylonian captivity. So you get these 500 names. And every now and again, you hit a name that you know. You go, oh, Moses, way. Or Abraham, way. And you get a bit of encouragement. And you get this whole list of names that you think, who on earth are these guys? And then you come to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And I want us to look there for a moment this morning. If you've got your Bible, we're just going to focus on two verses. And it's verse 9 and 10. And it says this. Now, Jabez. I mean, and it actually, when you look at the context of it, it's not really clear how all this fits together. But now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. What a great encouragement. I bore you in pain, I'm going to call you pain. It's basically what she was saying. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me, keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. What a great couple of verses in that whole mass of names. What a great thing to focus on for a few moments this morning as we think about 2016, the years ahead. Jabez, there's little, in fact, he's not mentioned again. There's the name Jabez you'll find in Scripture, but it's the name of a town. So I don't know whether it was named after him or he was named after the town. Theologians will argue probably that one a little bit. But Jabez, his mother named him the son, which sounds like the Hebrew word for pain or suffering. And it can sometimes, it can be translated as sorrow maker. Hello, sorrow maker. How are you today? I mean, it's a great start to the day, isn't it, when somebody mentions your name? But biblical names were so significant, weren't they? In so many ways. Some of them have real prophetic sense to them. You just think of the name Jesus. Why Jesus? Because he will save his people from their sins. And so Jabez, with all this, Scripture and God by his Holy Spirit says it's so important, I'm going to put this little interlude, if you like, in all these names, and just recounts this about Jabez. He prayed. In fact, it says, he cried out, oh, that you would bless me. And some translations say, oh, that you would bless me indeed. That whole sense of, God, would you just bring your favor on my life? I may have this name, but it doesn't have to mean the future is based on that. Would you grant favor on my life? And it's this, when you start something with, oh, it's like a cry, isn't it? You go, oh. Little confession, I stood a moment ago when Hugh said, anybody just really appreciate some prayer this morning? I was coming in that back door this morning, and let's just say I hit a wet patch, and there was much, oh, are you all right? I was on the floor, I was decked, my ankle was aching. I'm like, you know, and oh! That's like the first thing I did. It's like there's a cry, isn't there? Oh, I'm feeling better now. I'm keeping moving. I think I'll be okay. Thanks for your prayer here. And he cries and he says, oh God, would you bless me? And it's, what is this to bless? When we ask for God's blessing, what is it? Lord, we want you to impart something into our lives. And I don't know about you, but in 2016 again, I don't know whether it's airing my tires. I don't know whether it's brushing up my bumpers or whatever you said, Steve, wherever you are. But Lord, would you impart something into my life? Would you supernaturally bring favor? Lord, on the things that I do for you, would you grant success in 2016? Or is there anybody else who says yes, Lord? If you think about Jabez, and he's from this incredible tribe of Israel, and you know, he would have known the history. He would have known of God's blessing in the past. And, you know, because Abraham was obedient, he left his country, his people, and his father's house, and all that. He left all of that to follow God wherever God wanted him to go. Is anybody saying at the beginning of 2016, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go? The Lord promised him the following. You find it in Genesis 12, verse 2 and 3. God says to Abraham, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, curse, and whoever curses you, I'll curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Wow. What a promise. And Jabez would have understood that this God of Israel had the ability to bring incredible blessing into the life of his people. And it goes back even further, doesn't it? If you think about Adam and Eve, the very first thing that we read that God did when he created Adam and Eve, Genesis 1, verse 27, 28, says, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. Everybody say, God blessed them. He said, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. That was the very first thing God did when he created Adam and Eve. God blessed them. There's a pattern here. God wants to bless his people. Well, it's going to be one of them, won't it? Well, too much of that Christmas cake he was talking about. But listen to Paul in the New Testament. He says to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 1, all praise to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. There's some united with Christ people in this room, I believe. We are united. We are his people. Just nudge somebody and say, you're one of his. And you know, when you think about God and his incredible ability to bless and the resources available to him, you know, I don't know, parents here, you will probably understand this. There are times you just want to help your kids out. Yeah, you just want to do what you can. And sometimes you do what you can and you just think, oh, I haven't got any more resource to do, but I'd love to do a bit more if I could. God does not have that problem when he looks on your life and my life. A few years ago, we were driving down the A18 and we were going past that first Doncaster turnoff when you're going south, yeah? And Anne-Marie got quite excited in the car. She doesn't get very excited very often in the car. I don't know why I said that. Somebody will now tell her. And she looked over on that first Doncaster turnoff and she saw this huge great place had been built and it said IKEA on the side of it. And she went, whoa, they've built an IKEA not far from us. And I went, oh, no. Oh, joy of joys, I did look this up on the internet and found that it was not a shop, it was a warehouse. Thank you, Jesus. But here's the thing. If IKEA kept all its products in its warehouse, what a waste. What a waste. Somehow, those products have to get from that warehouse to the various stores around the country. How do they do that? They get their lorries out and they go down. How do you and I tap into the promises and blessings of God that are in God's storehouse that are bigger than IKEA's storehouse, far more available to him? How do we tap into those? Could I suggest, let's do what Jabez did. Cry out unto the Lord. Let's pray to him. We've got 3 days coming up where we can particularly think about this right at the very outset of this year. Pray. You know, it's like those lorries going to release stuff into the general community, as it were. Your prayers and my prayers will make a difference not only to our lives but to the world around us, the people we rub shoulders. And I think many of us simply perhaps don't understand the size of the warehouse that God has available. We've been encouraged this morning through gifts of the Spirit to expect great things. If they're going to be great things, you need a great warehouse. There's a great warehouse, there's a great storehouse, there's a great table. Use whatever biblical analogy you want. But it's all there. And I think the Lord sometimes just says, why don't you ask? You ask, you have not, because you ask not. Incredible storehouse. Somebody needs to hear this morning that God is going to bring his blessings into your life in 2016. Somebody needs to hear that. That's God's heart. That's God's intention. And then he prays, enlarge my territory. Or influence. It's perhaps one way of looking at it as well. I think Jabez knew that when the Israelites were finished with their wilderness wanderings and they entered into the promised land, that God spoke to Joshua, the one who took them in there. And in chapter 1 of Joshua, in verse 3, it says, God says to Joshua, I will give you every place where you set foot, as I promised Moses. I want to say the promises are still on over your life. The promises are still on. And then Jabez would also have known that the God of Israel spoke to Joshua a few verses later on, that if he obeyed the law handed down through Moses, that he would be successful wherever he went. Wow. Enlargement of territory, increase of influence. Jabez would have also known, as we've referred already to that promise to Abraham, I'll make you a great nation, bless you, I'll make your name great. But he then goes on to say, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. I think that's influence. That is incredible influence. God wants to give, I believe, you and me influence in 2016. Influence in 2016. The Apostle Paul says this. And he's asking the church in Colossae to pray in one of his letters. And he says, pray for us. That God may open a door for our message. Lord, let the message that we carry for you have incredible influence. At the beginning of 2016, let's pray that the door would be open to the message that we carry to our community and the world around us. And I think there are people here today that God's saying over your life, watch out for the doors that are going to be opening. Watch out for the doors. Ask and you will receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And then Jabez prays, let your hand be with me. The hand of the Lord upon him. I often think of that as anointing, God's anointing upon us for things, to do things, enabling, etc. And Jabez desired to be blessed in this territory, to be enlarged. And if that's going to be effective, we need the hand of the Lord upon us. We need God's Spirit in our hearts and lives. I love reading through Nehemiah and Ezra. And over again, there's a phrase that is repeated by both these guys. And they're reflecting on what God has done and the things that they've seen happen, the influence that they've had, the difference that they've made and the people of God have made. And they reflect with these words, wasn't the gracious hand of the Lord upon us? Well, as I go through 2016, I want to look and keep watching and say, wow, isn't the gracious hand of the Lord upon us? Jesus, Luke chapter 4, well-known scripture to many. He stands up in the synagogue one day, reads from Isaiah the prophet, and he acknowledges that the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness. And for you and me, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I now send you. John 20:21. As the Father sent me, I send in you. The Spirit of God upon us, the favor of God upon us, the hand of the Lord upon us. How do you fancy that this year? Walking round, knowing and sensing the hand of the Lord is upon us this year. 2016. And then he prays, and keep me from evil so that I will be free from pain. Free from this thing that's hung over me for years and years and years. Protection of God on my life. Jabez cries out to God, keep me from evil. Just as the children of Israel fervently cried out to God when they were in captivity, that God would bring them out. Jabez is saying, Lord, I don't want pain anymore. Lord, and I don't want to be a pain to anybody anymore. You ever been told you're a pain? Lord, I don't want to be a pain. I want to be a blessing to people. Yes, we do have to go through some stuff, you know. But yeah, evil, as it comes into our lives, causes incredible pain, doesn't it? He says, keep me from evil. What did Jesus encourage us to pray? Deliver us from evil in 2016. You know, we sang a song earlier that said, and I think this fits in with what we're talking about. It said, boldly I approach your throne. You know, when we come with these words of Jabez echoing in our hearts, let us come with a boldness. Why? Because it's by your blood I come, welcomed as your own into the arms of majesty. It's because of the blood of Jesus that we can come with our prayers and our requests. And I think another big key is this. In the very first part of that passage that we read, it says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. I believe God is looking for honorable people. Why is this man, whose name means pain, and who had to cry out to God, keep me from evil, why is he called more honorable than his brothers? You know, I believe Jabez knew where he had to turn to in his pain and in his difficulty. And I think he would echo the words of the psalmist who said, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. When you look at that passage in Psalm 121, the word the Lord is translated from the Hebrew word Yahweh, that covenant name of God with Israel. God has a covenant with you and me. It's been brought into place through the blood of Jesus on the cross. We are in this incredible covenantal relationship. God wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to be all that you need in 2016. And it says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And I think he understood where he needed to go to. But I also think at the beginning of 2016, we need to remind ourselves to remain of humble spirit and humble heart. Yes, we lay claim to the promises of God, but actually it's only the grace of God and the faithfulness of God that enables us to be who we are and to do what we do. Acts chapter 4 tells us that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It's only Jesus who brings us to this place that we can call on him. What a wonderful privilege we have of being in the family of God as this calendar year has clicked over. But let's just pause for a moment the modern word would be segue, a little sideways thought. What about those times in your life and my life when we've prayed for stuff, we've maybe prayed this prayer before, and actually we've continued to have struggles, we've continued to have a bit of pain, there's been disappointments and one or two griefs on the way. Anybody associate with any of that? Because sometimes I think if we just focus on little passages of scripture, it can get a little bit overblown one way. It's all truth, but it needs a bit of balance because we live in a very real world where we're all challenged with issues. Let me just talk to you about a guy who is a very prominent church leader in the 1900s. His name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And he became the minister of what was called New Park Street Church in Southwark in London. And he became the minister in 1854. And in his congregation, when he started, there were 232 people. 232. He remained there for 38 years. Sorry, Steve, he pipped you by 20. 38 years, can you believe it? Until 1892. Started with 232. In the end, ended up moving buildings and using different facilities. He had 5,300. Congregation had increased by 5,000 people. You know, and you hear the word Spurgeon, if you've been in church a while, you'll have heard people preach about him, you'll have heard people comment about him, talk about some of the things he reflected on with regard to Scripture. But throughout Spurgeon's life, and you think, what a great guy. What an incredibly anointed, and yes, he was. Living under the blessing of God, guy he was, yes, he was. Living under and having incredible influence, still today, I'm talking about him. Goodness knows how many years later. But throughout Spurgeon's life, he experienced incredible challenges. He had bouts of depression. He suffered long-term gout, kidney inflammation, and other illnesses that laid him out over and over again through that period, for weeks and sometimes months at a time. And this is Charles Haddon Spurgeon that we think, what a great guy. And yes, he was. And he said this: to a great extent, we find that we must sometimes sow in tears before we can reap in joy. Sometimes we just got to go through stuff. But then he said, you may expect a blessing in serving God if you are enabled to persevere under many discouragements. How many wants to receive that word this morning? I think Spurgeon's approach to the Christian life leaves room, if you will, for pain and delay. Because sometimes there's pain and sometimes there's delay in seeing the promises of God fulfilled. And he reminisced about his own life and he said this: I have oftentimes looked gratefully back to my sick chamber. I am certain that I never did grow in grace one half so much anywhere as I have upon my bed of pain. Wow. Wow. He went on, he says, this does not mean that we should all pray for pain. You'll be pleased to hear that is not on our prayer list for the next 3 days. But inevitably, there will be challenges in 2016. Jesus promised we would have trouble. We don't claim that one very often. We all go through stuff, don't we? And if you're going through pain, if you're going through challenge, if you're going through trouble, I want to remind you what John prayed earlier on this morning. He says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The blessings and promises of God are still over your life if we remain faithful and we'll keep hold of them in the year to come. Whatever goes on around us. Oh, David, that's not very encouraging to finish. We'll bring the musicians back. We'll see if we can change that. So guys, do you just want to come? As we enter this new year of 2016, I want to encourage us over these next 3 days to pray. To pray for God's blessing on our lives as individuals and corporately as his people. To pray that we would be a blessing to this world in which we live. To pray for an enlargement of influence and territory as we go through this year. To pray that God's hand and anointing would be on us. I want us to pray for his protection over us. And I want to encourage us over these next 3 days to renew our commitment in 2016 to honor the Lord with our time, our talents, our finance. Honor the word of God. Honor our parents. Honor one another. Honor those in authority over us. Let's be people of honor. Let's make that a commitment at the beginning of this year. And if you're up for joining me and others in those prayers over the next 3 days, I want to pray now as well. So if you're up for that, I'd ask you to stand right now. Because I want to declare this promise over you as well. That in saying, Lord, we want to pray with wisdom, but we want to embrace as well. We don't want to lose anything that you have in your great storehouse. We want to be that influence. We want to be that encouragement. We want to know your hand of favor and anointing upon us to do all that you want us to do, to be all that you want us to be. And Lord, we want to be honorable people in it. We want to honor you in all our ways so that you would direct our paths, Lord. And there's a blessing and a promise I want to declare over your life if you're saying yes and amen to those things today. And it's found in Malachi and it's chapter 3 where God says, test me in these things and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it in your life in 2016. Lord, would you come? Would you bless your people, Lord? Father, as we enter this new year, I ask that 2016, we would hear of story upon story of your gracious blessing in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would hear stories of increased influence throughout this coming year. Lord, I pray that we would hear stories of powerful anointing, that, Lord, when we stretch our hands towards people, they just receive healings. They receive release from stuff. Lord, I pray that we would be a powerful people in 2016 because the gracious hand of the Lord is upon us and your anointing is flowing through us. And Lord, may there be a growing recognition that you are with us. Your hand is upon. Would you just put your hand on the shoulder of somebody close by you? I just want to declare the gracious hand of the Lord on you this year, 2016. The gracious hand of the Lord on you in 2016. In 2016. Lord, would you protect us as your people as we journey through these coming months? Lord, would you bring release for those who are in pain even now? Well, let release come in Jesus' name. And I ask that as we recommit our allegiance to you, that Lord, as we honor you, as we honor your word, as we honor our parents, those around us, those in authority over us, Lord Father, I ask that in all these things, in the name of Jesus, the name that's higher than any other name, your blessing would be released in and through your church. In Jesus' name. If you agree with me, let's say amen. For